a wetland or marsh area. The property to the south is Fulton Avenue, it's an undeveloped right-of-way, and similarly, it's also a wetland or marsh area. The property to the east is a commercial use, that's in the design commercial or DC zone. And then the property to the west is the Dollar General, that is in the same Wellington Avenue redevelopment zone. The site has frontage along Wellington Avenue, again, that's County Route 629, it's about 240 feet. There's currently an ingress egress driveway along Wellington Avenue that we are proposing to reconstruct in the same location. Currently on-site, there's an existing one-story masonry building, it's about 25,000 square feet and shares a partition wall with the Dollar General. We will be proposing to demolish the existing structure on-site, and the Dollar General is proposed to remain. The remainder of the site is currently an asphalt parking area, consists of a lot of broken asphalt, it consists of most of the site, so about 88% of the site is impervious coverage, whereas 12 is pervious coverage. Majority of that area is currently wetland, so the area to the east of the site, there's currently a wetland ditch, and then the area to the south of the site, where Fulton Avenue exists, there is freshwater wetlands as well as coastal wetlands. The area to the east, we have considered a wetland ditch, and we do anticipate as no buffer associated with that, and we have submitted to the DEP saying the same. The area to the south, although there are coastal and freshwater wetlands, we are subject to the freshwater wetland requirements. We did submit to the DEP, and they did confirm 150-foot buffer for that as well. We are also located in the flood hazard area on-site, where the elevation is 10 feet, NAVD 88. We have submitted to the DEP for a freshwater wetland LOI, transition area waiver, as well as general permits for the utility connections, and we have also submitted to the NJDEP for the FHA verification and individual permit, and are meeting any of the NJDEP requirements. Aside from the wetlands area that we are proposing to maintain on-site, we are demolishing any of the other structures that are on-site today.
All right, now going to the proposal. So this will mark this as A2, and then why don't you mark the rendering as A3, just in case you want to refer to that as well as part of your testimony. So just identify A2 and A3, Caleb, in your right.
A3 is your rendering, is A2 your, is that your site plan?
Correct.
A2 is essentially a colorized version of the site plan sheet that was submitted as part of the set. It was prepared by our office, and it's dated January 3rd, 2025. And then A3 is an architectural rendering of today's date.
So why don't you describe the improvements that we're making on site, go through on-site circulation, landscaping, and typical improvements involved with the site plan?
Okay. So on-site, we're proposing a new state-of-the-art four-story self-storage facility with RV and boat storage. The use is permitted in this redevelopment plan. The building proposed is 29,718 square feet. It's located essentially in the center of the property, and it is meeting any of the building coverage or building setback requirements that are within the redevelopment plan. The building size, the total gross floor area, is 123,550 square feet. It consists of an office in the front, as well as four loading spaces that are on the east side of the building. The loading spaces are 12 feet by 40 feet long, and they're proposed inside the building to keep any of the operations noise away from the neighbors. The building height is proposed at 48.7 feet, four stories. I do want to note this is compliant with the redevelopment plan, where the max is 50 feet. The parking on-site is proposed in the front of the building. We are proposing 22 parking spaces, inclusive of two ADA accessible spaces. This does meet the parking requirement, where we require 12 spaces, and again, proposing 22.
And Michael, just to be clear, the cross-access between our lot and the Dollar General lot will remain, correct?
Yes, we are keeping the cross-access to the adjacent lot to not impact their circulation throughout their site. We are also meeting any of the parking setback requirements that are also required as part of this redevelopment plan. I do want to note that we are significantly, significantly increasing the buffer along Wellington Avenue. The existing parking is about 40 feet from Wellington Avenue, and the new parking proposed is about 100 feet. So there's a lot more room for landscaping, buffering in the front. To the east or the right of this parking field is a proposed sliding gate with keypad to enter into the RV boat storage area or into the loading zones on the east side of the building. We are proposing 28 of the RV boat storage spaces. The spaces are 12 feet wide and range from 35 feet to 28 feet long. They're mostly located in the rear of the building, with some proposed along the east side of the building. There are canopies proposed on top of most of these RV boat storage spaces. I do want to note that the canopies meet any of the building coverage or setback requirements in the redevelopment plan. The parking and the outdoor storage space is all accessed via the full movement driveway along Wellington Avenue. Again, we are proposing the driveway in the same location as the existing driveway. We are also proposing new sidewalk and curbing along the entire frontage of the property. All will be ADA accessible and compliant with any of the county requirements. We're also proposing a pedestrian access from Wellington Avenue to the front of the building into the office. That is also accessible. Based off of the flood hazard area regulations and the fact that the building has to be raised out of the flood, we are proposing a ADA accessible ramp in front of the office to maintain access for pedestrians. We are proposing a trash enclosure in the rear of the building that will be screened by the building and an 8-foot solid fence that is circulating around. We do anticipate trash to be picked up 1 to 2 times a week.
And again, this is for the fence around the entire rear of the building.
Correct. We are proposing an 8-foot fence along the western, southern, and eastern property limits up into that sliding gate that's essentially screening the entirety of that RV boat storage area. And that does meet the requirement for an 8-foot fence that's in the redevelopment plan. In addition to that, there are landscaping buffer requirements along Wellington Avenue and the east side of the property. Both of them are 10 feet. We are meeting both of those, and we are supplementing landscaping, which I'll get to, as well as the 8-foot solid fence that I already mentioned. On the eastern side, we're also proposing a retaining wall. Again, that's due to the fact that we have to raise the building in that loading area. So along the eastern portion, adjacent to the wetlands that we're maintaining, we do have a retaining wall. Looking at the site overall, we are decreasing the impervious coverage significantly on site. The existing coverage is about 88%. We're proposing about 71%. So that's a 22,000 square foot reduction, which is about half an acre. For signage, we will be proposing one freestanding sign and one building sign. Again, both will meet the redevelopment plan requirements. Before I move on to the stormwater, I do want to emphasize that we are meeting any of the bulk coverage or parking requirements that are required.
The landscape buffers that you talked about along Wellington, those are shown on a grid in the right corner, correct?
Correct. On the eastern side as well as along Wellington. Regarding stormwater, we are a major development as we are disturbing more than an acre on site. Currently, the runoff on site sheet flows either to the wetland ditch along the east side of the property or the wetlands that are in the rear of the site where Fulton Avenue exists. Under proposed conditions, we are proposing to match the existing runoff. We are naturally improving the quantity, quality, and groundwater recharge as we are reducing the impervious coverage by half an acre. So we are proposing a series of curb breaks along the eastern and southern side of the property to allow that runoff to maintain the discharge into the wetland ditch as well as in the rear of the property. In addition, we are proposing a small infiltration basin in the front of the site. I do want to note that one of the comments in the engineering letter was to try to raise that basin due to flooding and groundwater, which we do agree to look into. Overall, we are meeting any of the NJDEP or city stormwater requirements. The gas and water connections are both proposed to tie into the existing mains that are within Wellington Avenue. The electric connection is proposed to tie into an existing utility pole that's along the eastern side of the property that we are proposing to remain. The sanitary connection is proposed to connect into a main that runs along Fulton Avenue. It's a 12-inch line. It does tie into the wetlands, which we did submit for a general permit with the DEP. We did receive all will serves from any of the utility authorities. All the lights on site are proposed to be LED and downward facing. They're designed to provide safe pedestrian and vehicular access around the site. We are meeting the redevelopment plan, and we are mitigating any impacts to any of the neighboring properties. We're proposing two area lights in the front of the building where the parking field is. We're proposing 7 wall-mounted lights around the building on the northeast and south side, and then we're proposing 13 canopy lights within the loading area and then also under the canopy areas for the boat and RV storage. For the landscaping on site, we're also meeting any of the redevelopment plan requirements. We're proposing a mix of native trees, shrubs, and grasses. All will be native species and will be salt tolerant based off of the area that we're located in. We're proposing a streetscape buffer, again required in the redevelopment plan, along Wellington Avenue, consisting of shade trees, shrubs, and salt-tolerant plant mix. Similarly, on the eastern side where it's required, we are proposing a landscape buffer consisting of shade, ornamental, evergreen, shrubs, and a salt-tolerant plant mix. That's going to tie into the existing wetland, plants that currently are there that we are maintaining that need to be maintained within the wetlands. The total plants on site are 40 trees and 117 shrubs. We did get a chance to review the engineering and planning letter dated December 30th, 2024. We do agree to work with the engineer to comply with any of the requirements. We did want to note that aside from the stormwater comment, there was a note regarding the flood hazard area elevation. We are meeting the DEP requirements for the flood hazard elevation on site with the building elevation, but we do agree to work with the engineer to comply with the city's requirements regarding the flood hazard area. Overall, as I noted, we are proposing a significant amount of landscaping, stormwater, utility, ADA improvements on site. So with that being said, happy to answer any questions.
Well, let's ask questions of this witness, and then while it's still fresh in our minds, questions of anyone?
I had a question with regards to the screening. I think you said that there was an 8-foot high fence, and just in terms of screening that back storage of the RVs and the boats, if you could kind of go over that a little bit, where exactly that fence.
So the fence ties into this building in this corner, travels down the western property line, travels around the southern property line, and then up the eastern property line, and then ties in at the front of this building where we have the sliding gate. So it's essentially screening the entirety of that RV boat storage space. It's solid and it's 8 feet tall, and that is in addition to any of the landscape buffering that you can see here on this rendering.
Okay. So it's fully screened. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll call that the Maria Mento condition. They came in for the redevelopment plan. That was Commissioner Mento's biggest thing she was concerned about, is screening of the RVs. This building is obviously at our entrance to our community.
Right.
And that was something that was important to all of us, but specifically she mentioned it for the redevelopment plan approval to the commission. And I think that's, we don't want to see boats if they are stored there. Mm-hmm. And I think when the public gets to see that photograph of the rendering, we'll see what that's going to look like. So we appreciate that.
Roger, I have a question to you. When you were asking about the flood elevation, were you referring to the building or the ground being lifted like they did next door, or?
Similarly to what they did next door.
Okay.
This is located in a coastal A zone, which has similar requirements to velocity zone. So they're gonna have to get together with our floodplain manager, construction official, to iron out how they're gonna, the constructability of the building itself. Right. I think we should make that a condition of any approval.
Yeah, right, because I'm looking at the picture and it looks like you're driving up the driveway.
They are elevating the land quite a bit, but there's still the the aura of the coastal A zone, which is wave heights of 1.5 feet or less, which I don't see happening with the elevated ground, but we still have to comply with that as per our ordinance.
In light of that, the problem has been, of course, in Ventnor Plaza, the next one we found out, is that storm drains and so would actually back up, and the parking lots would fill. The other thing is we found in our, we'll say, hazard zones, is that when the planting is elevated, it survives so much better. And Commissioner Landgraf said it very well. This is a gateway. And the project looks very good. Now, my question is, we know it's a gateway. Is there anything that you can do to enhance our gateway with this, and make it that much better? So when it comes into the city, for example, the way you light the property, the species of growth, the density of growth, and it's sort of, the way it just presents itself in a very, very, very professional and very pleasing manner. It welcomes people. It's a welcome sight. And I think that is a goal that I like to see with that. You're doing it, and just, you know, have that in mind as a mission, if you will. It's a beautiful sight, what you're doing. So you're hitting it a home run here. So let's just knock it out of the park.
Yeah, I think we could work with your board to get the final landscape
and
from there to make sure that.
But the elevations that come in with the water and so on, I think make sure your site is high enough, the actual landscape, the workable site, and you'll find it'll pay dividends to you in the long run. Because if you have RVs in the back, you have to have them up so they don't flood out either.
Kelly, it looks like you're raising the parking lot about 3 feet already.
Correct, yes.
And the proposed grading plan works.
The plants that they're all putting are all salt tolerant native to the area. One other question, do you have a sign out front? You're just going to do it on the building?
We are proposing one freestanding sign. It's not shown on the plans. It will be compliant, and it will be along Wellington, but it's not currently shown on the plans.
Yeah, we didn't want to block the building on the
plan. I wouldn't either. It's good.
So, yeah, we'll just comply with what the ordinance permits. Right. It's on the site plan, right?
It's on our table, but it's not currently shown on the plans.
Right.
It'll be outside of the site triangles and compliant with the code.
I have one other question. Is the Dollar General in the purview of your plan? In other words, are you redeveloping the Dollar General as well?
No, the redevelopment plan covers both properties,
right.
But our client just owns lot 2.01.
Right.
So we're just redeveloping lot 2.01.
So
somebody in the future, because of the redevelopment plan covers both,
right.
Could redevelop the Dollar General with within the purview of the requirements of the redevelopment
plan. Exactly. So we have to wait to see what they do.
That's correct.
In there. So you got to spur them on.
This will be encouraged.
Looks awesome. Again, if you want to proceed with the next. Next, please.
Our next witness, Mr. Chairman, is our traffic engineer, John Korak.
Good evening.
John, if you could just go through your professional credentials as well. Traffic engineer, license is held, and this is outstanding, educational background, and experience testifying before planning to build a company.
Of course. I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey. I have a Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering from the College of New Jersey. An expert in the field of traffic and transportation engineering. I have appeared before over 100 land use boards within the state. I've prepared over 500 traffic studies for land development applications. I also serve as board expert in a few municipalities in North Jersey.
Your license is in the state of New Jersey?
In good standing.
Yeah, okay. Then you're acceptable, please.
Thank you.
So John, you're also prepared to report in connection with this application. You can just, I guess, go through three categories. Trip generation, on-site circulation, parking, I leave it to you with the order of the
Yeah, sure. So I'll generally take it in that order. We'll start with trip generation and overall traffic related items for this application. Self-storage facilities are some of the lowest traffic generating land uses in the development world today. Looking through the redevelopment plan list of permitted uses, it's probably the lowest generated use in terms of total traffic demand. For a site like this, we would expect about 20 trips over the course of a peak hour, whether that's in the evening or a Saturday midday. So that's in and out combined, so that's about one car entering or leaving the site every 3 minutes or so. So very minor trip impact, traffic impact, especially compared to Wellington Avenue, carries about 16,000 vehicles per day. It's a drop in the bucket in terms of volume versus the capacity. We are utilizing the driveway in a similar location. One of the comments from the county relates to on Wellington Avenue. You can see on the rendering how the Dollar General side entrance has a left turn lane carved out of that 15-foot wide median. They requested the same and provided us details for that. So we'd be doing that as well in order to provide full movement access in and out of the site at the site driveway. On-site circulation, providing 30-foot wide drive aisles, a little bit oversized, but that allows us to maneuver out of boats and RVs, and we've run truck turning templates to ensure that these parking spaces for those larger oversized vehicles can be adequately served by your standard pick up a trailer or the like. Lastly, on the parking, we've got 28 of those boat/RV spaces in the rear of the site, 22 standard parking spaces in the front of the site, inclusive of two handicap accessible spaces. It's compliant with the redevelopment plan requirements and based on sort of the low traffic demand intensity of self-storage uses, that parking is expected more than sufficient to support the development.
Okay, so the driveway that we're proposing, or that we're constructing, has proper site distance in your opinion?
Yes, it does.
Okay. And all the proposed vehicles that would come to the self-storage properly navigate the site?
Yes, pretty straightforward layout with very visible parking in front of the site, adjacent to the office area, and then it's a gated area for the boat and RV storage. So you have to be signed up and have access to that area in order to access it.
And the application complies with the number of ADA spaces that are
Yes.
All right, no further questions, Mr.
In a summary and conclusion, do you think this is a very low impact and very compatible with this site?
I do.
Thank you very much.
Is the area for the Dollar General, the parking, will that be also accessed?
So the area for the Dollar General, we're still providing the cross access that exists there today. So if you did come in that Dollar General driveway, you would be able to maneuver to the site parking area now.
Since there's no storage facilities on this island, as far as I can tell, I think the initial demand will be quite great, and you'll need more than 22 parking spaces. So I would think that having that overflow on the Dollar General would be very important.
There's an easement when the site is initially developed that permits the cross access and cross parking.
But once it gets established, I think the criteria you've used makes sense.
It's one location right on South Sacramento Avenue, a small little old garage that they used to build all these homes around. Small storage area back there, about 6 units. Not really your competition.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So our next witness, Mr. Chairman, is our architect, Louis Vandeloup.
So, Louis, same thing. If you could go through your credentials, licenses held, experience testifying in New Jersey.
Yep. Bachelor of Architecture from Urey University in Springfield, Missouri in 1996. Licensed architect in 46 states, including New Jersey, currently active. Testifying for probably 25 boards here in New Jersey, almost exclusively on self storage facilities.
The board accepts, Mr. Campbell?
You're licensed in the state of New Jersey, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. You're acceptable as the credentials.
So why don't you go through the architectural elevation and discuss the building materials and what's associated with the project in terms of the standard?
Certainly, it's probably easier to actually start with this one.
So you're referring to A3?
Correct, starting with A3. So what you're seeing here is you're seeing the north elevation facing Wellington and the east elevation kind of facing Atlantic City. The Coffee Gateway comment that was made earlier. What we use is we use a mix of materials. We have brick, we have stucco, and we have metal architectural metal panels and glass. Mainly the brick here on the corner entries, corner elements, stucco through the middle that runs around the rest of the facade, and we emphasize the corner with glass and metal panel. Here on the front corner, called the northeast corner, the office is down here in the kind of first floor northeast corner next to the handicap ramp. Heavy glass through there. What's behind that glass is not looking into somebody's self storage units. It's actually what we call display windows. So right behind that, about 3 foot back, there's a set of display doors, you know, just false doors that kind of show what the inside of the facility looks like. It's standard, just about every self-storage facility we do nowadays to have that kind of thing. It helps break the box up. It helps get a little material out of each of the space, and then helps kind of make it look more not just like a big old box. Then here on the east side, we took the same, these are the two loading docks, loading bays you'll see here, and we took that same glass.
There you go.
We kept that same glass motif going around the loading areas, not necessarily for vision windows at that point, but just that span of glass. We did that purely just for the sake of the glass itself. Flipping then to... Yeah, I'm going to the set. So this is the set of drawings we submitted as part of the set submitted to you all, dated September 17th of 24. The sheet I'm going to... is sheet A5.1. This shows the south and west elevations. So the south elevation, we kept that same banding motif that we've used on the front of the building, kept the same brick treatment in the southwest corner, and as I turn around the corner onto the west elevation, you can see the Dollar General faded out here we're butting up against with that same banding motif around the corner with the brick kind of wrapping the two corners to create, you know, a full four-sided building.
And will all the utilities be screened that are on the roof?
Yes. Anything on the roof, usually the rooftop units, and these are small units, more residential style units for lack of a better term. Everything will be screened from the street.
Right. Do you speak to fire
suppression? Doing it fully sprinkled.
Right. And ADA compliance?
Complete ADA compliant, completely building code compliant.
I'm sorry, I missed that. Could you repeat the fire suppression?
It's fully sprinkled.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have.
Now, are you going to be using any type of flood management for a commercial building in here, as far as barriers
or whatever?
Yeah, if we need to comply with basin water, if full elevation comes up, we'll be with that when it comes up.
Now, your plans and documents, do they list the colors and brick that you'd be using?
Yes, we do. We have it down on sheet A5.1. Right. We don't have exact brick colors because it may vary slightly based on what it is. But yeah, we'll call out what's brick, what's stucco, and what's metal.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the building will be, the colors you're showing the board today will be the colors the building is being built with.
As close as we can get.
As close as you can get.
Yes, correct.
And then your legend will explain those colors.
Yes, it will.
And that's what we're approving, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
I'm glad you brought that up, Chairman, because these are the colors we actually talked about. The ones we first saw were bright red.
Yeah.
Some of the black. We actually look to kind of blend in with what's going on at the Ventnor Plaza.
Right.
So again, these guys are taking direction from the redevelopment plan. Much appreciated.
So that's perfect. It's always you want to know what you approve, what you get, what you approve.
Yeah, 100% true.
To see, and we don't really know. This is only wind up with a lot of pink flamingos, all over the yard. So that would be great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I had a question in terms of the boat storage. Can you confirm whether that will be stacked, I guess, vertically on top of each other, or is that just going to be one level and that should be behind that 8-foot fence?
I think when you say, do you mean like will boats be stacked on top of the other, like
take the forklift and you pull the boat off?
Yeah, like they do at certain like harbors and marinas.
Yeah,
hold on one second.
Yeah. All you see is that giant big rack of multiple stacks.
It would just be one per space.
Okay, so they wouldn't be stacked.
Yeah, it's not like a marina where they take the boat along.
Yeah.
It's actually not a bad idea, but.
Can you describe the idea we would entertain?
I figured that, but.
Can you describe it as roll on, roll off?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, that way.
Right. Any other questions?
I think you've explained yourself very well.
Cool, thank you.
Our last witness, Mr. Chairman, is our professional planner, Marcello Trina.
Marcello, same deal with your educational background, license to sell, and experience specifying as a planner in the state of New Jersey.
Sure thing. So I'm a licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey. My license is in good standing. I have my bachelor's degree from the Rutgers-Blaustein School of Planning and Public Policy. I've testified before several other boards throughout the state of New Jersey, and I previously served as...
Yeah, 5 minute recess. I get new batteries for these. Yeah, they're on there. Yeah.
Can they use one of these mics?
Let's go to the dollar store and get new batteries.
At least wireless.
Are we off?
Yeah, they're wireless.
Carmelo.
Try one of these.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Sit on the
fridge. Okay.
Doesn't produce any school for them. Also doesn't require any services.
Correct.
Okay. And you're going to provide your own trash facilities and so on.
Correct. It will be private hauler.
Private hauling and so on.
That's correct.
And that, so in the approval cycle, your services, such as trash, other things, other than water, sewer, will be supplied by yourself, by the city.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
All right, back concludes our presentation.
That's right. I have a question or more of a comment for the traffic engineer, if I can circle back.
Sure.
So look at your page C18. With regard to the turning radiuses. Vendor has a ladder truck that's 100 foot and a Quint, which is, it's a 100 foot ladder, it's 64 feet bumper to bumper. So I believe our Quint is, I guess what I'd like to do is to have you discuss or meet with our fire chief on the turning radiuses. It looks like you have a 47-foot turning radius plan.
We can meet with your fire chief, make sure we have the largest vehicle, and just run the template just to make sure.
Yeah, we have two large vehicles. We're probably going to, that large ladder truck's lifespan is still got a couple years left.
Okay, no, that's fine.
Thank you.
Okay. Are you complete with...
We're complete with our direct case, Mr. Chairman.
At this time, I would entertain we go to an open to public portion at this time for comment. So at this time, we're going to do that. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Hearing none and seeing no requests, the public portion is now closed.
All right. Just in sum, Mr. Chairman, I want to thank the city for working with us for the last 18 months on the redevelopment plan. I'm sorry, did you want to? Okay.
You have read Mr. McClain's report.
Yeah, we stipulated that we would comply with all the technical comments.
It's acceptable.
That's correct.
And so on down the line. And we've talked about a number of issues this evening.
Yep.
And we'll put those into the resolution. And you will work those final things out.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Yeah. So again, we appreciate the board's patience and review the application. The city's working with us on the redevelopment plan, which resulted in a variance-free application, something that's really going to benefit the site. So we respectfully request that the board approve the application with all the conditions that we discussed this evening, including compliance with your board engineer's review letter.
One further comment is the match line of lot 2.02, which is not part of this redevelopment project tonight, that line that you are stopping is going to be easily mated with the other site that could be match your site?
What do you mean?
You're elevating the property.
Oh.
So the lot 2.02 looks to me like it would be easily able to meet.
Yeah, what you're doing. Can you just answer that?
Yes, so we're proposing to meet the grades along the entire property line along with the Dollar General. So essentially, we're sloping up where we can on the where the loading area is and the retaining wall is, but along the Dollar General, we're meeting the grades and we're making sure there's no ponding of any sort.
Okay, well, for the record, how high are you raising the grades above the Dollar General site, the current site?
It's likely anywhere between 2 feet to, as you get to where the loading area is, maybe 4 feet,
okay.
5 feet.
All right, thank you. Yeah. Now, all right, Roger, is there anything that we need to put into the final?
No, I think we hit on all the specific topics that I had some concerns with, your comments.
So if you have any, now's the time to incorporate them into the resolution.
Right.
Okay. So with that, at this point then, members of the board, do you have any questions of the applicant, the professional, or our professionals? Hearing none in this case, Leo, it is up to you to frame the resolution in the affirmative, as all are done, and we'll go to a roll call vote.
Sure. Okay, so they're seeking, and what we'll need a motion for is a preliminary and final major site plan approval. There's no variances for the project, so it's essentially what's called a by right site plan. It fits squarely within the redevelopment plan. Presentation was obviously thorough. The conditions I noted, that they'll coordinate with our construction code official and floodplain manager as to the constructability of the building. Is that, I'll articulate it a little better than that.
The city's flood hazard area ordinance.
Meet our flood hazard area
ordinance.
And then obviously they're going to be subject to any outside approvals, county, DEP, whatever else is necessary. The applicant has agreed to meet with our fire chief to satisfy him that that all turning radiuses for the fire equipment are satisfactory. And then the applicant has agreed to comply with any technical comments in Mr. McLaren's report. And then just the other standard conditions, you know, any representations made on behalf of the applicant, they'll comply with those. Any other conditions in Mr. McLaren's report, unless otherwise addressed?
And the colors of the building and the materials will be similar to what is as proposed and worked out.
As on the plans.
They're made part of the approvals.
Fair enough.
That's correct.
And so again, it's a motion and a second and a roll call vote. It's preliminary and final major site plan approval and no variances are required.
One question I have is, there's going to be a sign that is going to be located that you're going to be putting in the out near the street, I understand.
Right, it was testified to by our engineer would comply with
right.
the setback requirements.
And do we need to have an approval of that sign?
I think Roger can administratively approve it and ensure that it complies with the
reading. The variance
yeah, as long as it complies with
yeah. the... As a condition, if you'd like, we could just put it on the final site plan where it would be located, just to confirm.
Yeah.
And the design as well.
Okay.
We wanted to see the design, the colors, and so on.
Yeah, on the colors, though, it may depend on the ultimate user, whether it's public storage or CubeSmart
yeah,
or whatever.
I understand.
But we could show where it would be located
right.
and basically the framing of it.
Right. We would appreciate that greatly.
Okay. That's fine.
Great. And yeah, when you submit the compliance plans, just include that.
Sure.
All right. So if there's no other questions or comments, we'll need a motion.
Can I have a motion? Second. May I have a motion, please, and a second?
I'll make the motion.
Second. And we'll have a roll call vote. State your reasons, please.
Mayor Kriebel?
As Commissioner Landgraf said, this group has been with us and ran some preliminary design by us. I appreciate that, and I appreciate that there are no variances here. I think that was a testament to the design. The positives of the overall design, reducing impervious square footage, the landscaping improvements, adding a boat and RV storage, I think is going to be very popular in the town and as an enforcement issue. It gives us a little bit more of a standing because there hasn't been something like that in the area to point people towards for boat and RV storage. I think that'll be very popular. I think the design itself fits the improvements at the plaza, and I think the business itself is going to benefit from association with the plaza, that the traffic that is increased there, and how this states that a commercial development like this is viable on that tract of land. So for all those reasons, and I'm sure the rest of the board will give more, I support the application.
Commissioner Landgraf.
Really appreciate you guys coming through with this redevelopment plan. You've met every single thing we asked you to come as part of that plan and put it together. Really like the design, the landscaping, the use of the plantings out front, use of the plantings on the side to buffer the rear of the building, color scheme. I mean, this is going to be our steel commissioner, or Mayor Kriebel's comment when we first started running for office was, this is our handshake with people coming into our community. And I think this is going to be a nice firm handshake. I vote yes on the application for all the reasons stated.
Jacob?
I am going to vote a resounding yes. First of all, I'd like to thank the commissioners for the effort that they put in and the board put in the developing a lot of the background. This just didn't happen over a year, over a couple months. This is a couple of years worth of work that went into this. And then as the applicant, you took the bull by the horns and delivered an A1 project. So you meet the essence of what the city wanted with the Gateway project. You meet the needs of the community itself. Aesthetically, it's a great piece. You captured what we need. And now you're cooperating with the board tremendously and the city in its requirements to build something that actually works and works well. So with that, visually, I think, it's just another feather in the cap of this whole thing that shares trips and so on, and it's a symbiotic relationship. One project helps the other project, and it's another move to success, and it's another success for the city of Ventnor, and the design matches what we need and matches our financial plan as well as our overall site, the plan for the city. So yes, a resounding yes.
Roman Zadinovich.
I also vote in favor of the application enthusiastically. This is a great project. As a planner, it's great to see a plan that's developed and implemented almost immediately and not take years and years and years for it to wake up grant. Visibly, I think this is going to be quite a great entrance. It's going to provide a service that is lacking for the whole island. So it'll be something people will be coming to Ventnor for quite a while, and it'll be something we'll be very proud of. So thank you.
Dan Smith III.
I'm also going to vote in favor of the application. I think it's commendable to the commissioners and the city and your firm and all the professionals for the job you've done with this, and the way the streetscape is fantastic. It's such a void in that area right now. When you drive through, this will really re-energize the entrance to the city. The use is fantastic. I think it's something that's lacking throughout our area on the island, and I think it'll be the boat storage and RVs is another great thing, because there's so many vehicles and, you know, people have a hard time storing their boats and things, so it's a real win for everybody here, and I'm really pleased with it.
Mike Leeson?
I have to say, the presentation, being on the board as long as I've been on, was the best presentation that I can remember. Every professional had the right answer. I actually enjoyed listening to it, and I dread when corporations come in to the agreement. But I was lucky enough to be in California and Las Vegas recently and seen facilities like this. When you did the preliminary one, it was really nice looking, but when I actually saw something, what you're going to do, you think it's an office building. That's how nice it looks. And with all that, I'm in favor.
Peter Taco?
I also vote in favor of the application for all the reasons stated. I think that, also think that it's, it will be an asset to the community. It's a beautifully designed building. And I'm looking forward to see it built.
Greg Gaskell?
I also vote yes. I can't see anything that's negative about it. Very well thought out plan. The building is going to be beautiful. And the name is clear.
Mike Bartlett?
I also vote in favor of it. It's a great design, great building. I love the landscaping. I love the lighting. It's very spruce that whole area. And great rainfall for the city. A great presentation.
Yes. Jason? For some reason, you won the day.
Yeah. No, thank you very much, everybody. I really appreciate the comments also.
Could you have your team stand, please?
You think about it.
You have to thank the Academy.
Thank you very much for a great presentation.
Thank you.
And a good project.
Congratulations. The views are better there than Starbucks has.
We're going to take a 5-minute recess at this time. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Can everyone take their seats, please? The next application is that of 50801 Ventnor Avenue.
Good evening, Mr. Cook.
Good evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, Callahan. On behalf of Paul McQuaid, who's the applicant, and Mary McQuaid, my power attorney, and McDevitt, who's the owner of the property. Property is 5801 Ventnor Avenue, Lot 113, Lot 1, just for the record, all the restrictions of parks and met. We're seeking a minor subdivision to take the existing property and to create two new single-family lots. One would be 60 by 95, the other would be 55 by 95. In the R1 zone, we need variance relief. For lots that run north and south, we need 6,250 square feet. We're proposing 5,725. Lot depth on lots running north and south are 125. We're proposing 95 and 95, which is existing. A little bit of background on the property. It was used to be the Wanamaker Estate back in way then, before 1956. The McQuaid family have been involved with the property since 1956 when they purchased it. Dr. McQuaid had his dental office downstairs, and the garage on the second floor, which was used by the Wanamakers as the chauffeur's estate, became where he stored his x-rays. He had his cars and x-rays in that part of the outbuilding. Dr. McQuaid died in 86. His wife died in 2003. Mary was the executrix, became the owner of the property. Her brother, who's has minor dementia right now, is living in the house with Paul McQuaid, who's the cousin, turned the property over to Mary. Mary's the owner right now, assisted living. So it's a combination of not being able to maintain the property. It currently has 16 rooms. It has 8 bedrooms, 6.5 baths, and a full dental office in the basement, is what it is. We're proposing to go through it, and as I said, convert 2 new single-family lots. Both lots would face Dudley Avenue, so the frontage of the 95 feet along Ventnor Avenue would still be maintained. John Marner is our witness, so I can come up and sworn in, and then he can walk you through the project.
Okay, Mr. Barnhart, since it's a new application, just your name and business address.
John Barnhart, office address 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City. Licensed professional engineer, licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey.
Okay, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, thanks.
And the credentials still hold?
Thanks.
John, you want to?
Sure.
This is your final subdivision exhibit, the market of A1?
That's correct.
Why don't you go ahead and give some more money, and where the property located, describe your site.
Sure. The property is located right in the corner of Ventnor Dudley Avenue.
Can you hear any marks from out? Or you?
I can hear.
They're both working now, so.
Okay. So. There we go. Property is located at the corner of Ventnor Dudley Avenue. Property has frontage along Ventnor Avenue of 95 feet and has frontage along Dudley Avenue of 115 feet. There's currently one lot and has a total land area of 10,925 square feet. As Mr. Callahan pointed out already, the house or the property developed as a large single family home and once had an operating dentist office in the home. The request this evening is to subdivide the parcel into 2 lots. The corner lot, which we show as proposed lot 1.01, would have a lot frontage of 60 feet with the home intended to face Dudley Avenue, and a lot a lot depth of 95 feet, and a total lot area of 5,700 square feet. The second lot, as proposed, lot 1.02, would have a lot frontage of 55 feet. Again, the home would face Dudley Avenue. And a lot depth of 95 feet with a total lot area of 5,225 square feet. The way that as proposed, there is no intention to request variances for any other bulk area standards with regard to the lots. We're not requesting any setback variances with this application. We're not requesting any coverage variances or height variances. This is simply an application to subdivide a parcel into 2. Pieces, individual lots. The deviations that come about as a result of the application are 2. First is with regard to the total lot area. Because the home space of the avenue, you'll see in Mr. Requirement's report that the requirement is 6,250 square feet. So the lots are undersized with regard to area. And then the second variance that is necessary for each of the lots is the total lot depth, where we have a proposed lot depth of 95 feet, where 115 feet is required. So we're all familiar with this location, with this area, this is the St. Leonard Tract. And we all understand the sensitivity of the St. Leonard Tract and dividing lands and developing properties in that area. It's a very nice part of the community. So when we started looking at this as to whether this is appropriate or not, we kind of looked at this from a more global perspective than just this parcel, because I think it really tells the story as to why we believe that this is an appropriate request. So the exhibit I have, I just placed up, I guess we'll call it Exhibit A2.
A2.
Is a tax map of the majority of the St. Leonard Tract area. All the way to the right of the plan is Surrey Avenue, and then all the way to the left on this plan is Cambridge Avenue. The dark dashed line that you see on this plan is the line that creates the R1 zoning district. So everything below that line is the R1 district, and above that line there are other higher density districts. So what we looked at is, you basically have, the block that we're in is one of the only blocks, until you get, you know, further toward Margate, is one of the only blocks that does not have Winchester Avenue running parallel with Vetter Avenue behind it. What I mean by that is, if you start with Surrey Avenue, you see the blocks are divided between Vetter and Winchester Avenue, one after another. When you get to our street, I assume at some point Winchester Avenue was vacated. I don't know if it ever existed there, but you can see that if you follow the line of Winchester Avenue, you can see that actual property line, or that boundary, exists all the way through the center track, all the way to the end of the R1 district. So what we did from a study area perspective is we looked at each one of those blocks to understand what the densities are like, what the lot areas are like, what the depths are like, what the lot widths are like, what the lot frontages are like, and how are those parcels developed. Well, if you look at an aerial, and I'm just going to show quickly just to get it in the record, I think we all know this is essentially that same area going from Surrey all the way down to Cambridge Avenue. It's just a Google image. But we all know that within that area, every one of these parcels is developed. Everyone's built, there's no vacant lands around. They all have single family homes on them.
I'll call that A3, the Google area.
Okay,
thank you. Aerial.
What we started to recognize is that while this location, depending on which way your lot is oriented, you either need a lot area of 6250 or you need a lot area of 6900 square feet, depending on which frontage your lots are going to be on. And then what you also need is minimum lot widths of 50 or 60. And then what you also need is minimum lot depths of 115 feet. When we looked at that area from, again, Surrey all the way down to Cambridge, what we came to recognize is the lion's share of the lots within that area, which our parcel being yellow in the middle of this exhibit, the lion's share of the lots in that area don't comply with the standards. And so I've divided into a couple categories, and again, this is to all go back to why we believe our request is an appropriate request and establishes a very appropriate population density for this site as compared to the surrounding sites, as we all know is the purpose of the municipal land use law. I'll start with the red shaded lots. The red shaded lots on this plan, which are 14 in total within that area of the community, are all lots that are undersized with regard to their area, they're undersized with regard to their depth, and they're less lot area than either of the two lots that we proposed this evening. So, there's 14 lots out of the 55 lots in this area, from Vetter to Winchester, Surrey to Cambridge. There are 14 lots that exist in that area that are fully developed that are smaller lots than what is being proposed this evening by our client. The next piece of this exhibit is the green shaded lots. The green shaded lots, which are 22 in total, are all lots that are either non-conforming with regard to depth, with regard to width, with regard to area, not width, with regard to depth, with regard to area, or many of them actually are undersized with regard to both depth and lot area. So what you have is a total of 36 lots within the 55 lot study area that I'm showing you here, which we believe is the good comparison to the block that our parcel is in, which means 65% of these lots are undersized. So now, bring it back to exactly what we are requesting. We are requesting a variance to create two lots. We recognize they're undersized as the area, but both of them are in excess of lot width as to what is required. We're required a 50-foot wide lot. We're proposing a 50-foot wide lot is what's required. We're proposing a 55-foot wide lot, and we're proposing a 60-foot wide lot. When you talk about intensity of a block or density of a block, a big part of that is the visual aspect of it. And when you create narrow lots, you create a visual appearance of having a block that is too dense. We're not proposing that here. We have an excess of lot width with regard to both of our lots. And talking about density, and I want to speak to that with regard to this entire area again. If you look at these blocks, where did they lay out? They have a depth from Winchester to Vetter Avenue of 165 feet. They have a width from street to street, each one more the same, of 250 feet. If you apply the density requirements or the lot area requirements, whether it be north-south streets or east-west streets, If you compare this to the 6,900 square foot lot requirement, each one of these blocks calculates essentially to six homes. It's 5.97 homes. If you apply the density requirement or the area requirement of 6,250, it actually becomes a calculation of 6.6 homes in each one of these blocks. Now look for a second at how the blocks were developed.
Starting with Surly Avenue, that same block has eight units on it, or eight dwellings. The next block between Suffolk and Somerset has eight dwellings on it. The next block between Somerset and Oxford has eight dwellings on it. The next block between Oxford and Duffy has six dwellings on it. Our block currently has five dwellings on it. We're proposing to actually modify that so that same land area plan would then have six, that would have six dwellings on it. When you go one block, I'll say south of Dorset, Dorset to Derby, you have a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 again. When you get to Derby and Cornwall, then Cornwall to Cambridge, those lots become very regularly sized, and they are in compliance with the area and with the lot areas and lot widths of the ordinance. But what's interesting is, as an example, look at the block of Cambridge Avenue. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 houses on that block within the same land mass area. All those lots are compliant, but there's six dwellings within that area. We're proposing to subdivide this yellow parcel into two lots, which within that same area of land, that each one of these other blocks that I'm discussing would then have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 homes within that block area. So what this shows is that we're not really asking for a density variance. This is an appropriate request with regard to the number of homes within that area of land within the community and within the R1 district. What we're asking for is a deviation with regard to the lot depth, which then obviously becomes an issue with regard to lot area, because our depth off of Dudley Avenue obviously does not comply with the 115-foot requirement. We think that's mitigated by the fact that our lots are actually proposed to be wider than the minimum requirement. So how do you justify these variances from a municipal land use law perspective? We believe that this application promotes appropriate population densities because of the fact that this is a very consistent proposal as compared to the surrounding blocks within this area of the community. We believe that with regard to the negative criteria, are there any substantial detriments to the zoning plan or zoning ordinance? I would argue that there are not, because of the fact that we are preserving larger lots with regard to their overall width than what is required in the district. And with regard to the second prong of the negative criteria, is there any substantial detriment to the public good? Again, based on my discussion with regard to the densities in each one of these blocks and how this area has developed, we believe that this does not create a substantial detriment to the public good. Is there an impact to the public? Of course there is. We're proposing to add a home to this block which doesn't currently exist. But the test is whether the impact is substantial, and substantial enough to create a negative scenario that is inappropriate for this area, which we believe that it is not.
Visually, coming down Ventnor Avenue, you're still going to see the 95 feet worth of frontage along Ventnor Avenue, because the houses are being toward Dudley Avenue. So that
is correct. The parcel is now being divided as compared to off of Ventnor Avenue. So the frontage or width of the lot on Ventnor Avenue would remain the same. And this, again, just one thing, another thing to mention is that, if we were to look at this, study this area south of Ventnor Avenue, you can see the consistency within the same letter track on the lot sizes. They all, the majority of the properties, once you get south of Ventnor Avenue, Atlantic Avenue, they, until you get to the oceanfront, then some things divide up. But there's very consistent lot size. So that when you get north of Ventnor Avenue, that is not how this area has been developed. Those lots are not in keeping with the actual requirements. And therefore, we believe that this request is very much appropriate.
There are a large number of lots in this R1 district now that are 60 by 82 and a half, less than 5,000 square feet.
That's correct. The majority of the lots that I have shaded in red here are 60 feet wide, but they're only 82 and a half feet deep. That's correct.
These corner lots are 65 foot wide and 82 and a half foot deep. They still do not comply. The only reason that I shaded them differently is I wanted the board to understand that all of the shaded lots, red and green, are undersized, but the red lots are all smaller than what is being proposed with our application.
How do we match up just sticking to our street?
So with regard to our street, if you turn on Bedford Avenue, you're going down Dudley Avenue, as I mentioned, we're proposing 60 foot on the corner, 50 feet, or 55 feet on the next lot. The next lot next to us is 50 feet, and then you have an odd-shaped lot that has a 65 foot front, but then it's narrower in the rear and has an access easement. There's some irregularities in the block layout here. Then you have another 50 foot lot, and then when you get to the bayfront, you have a 29 foot lot. So we would be some of the widest lots on the block on Dudley Avenue between Winchester and the Bay.
Single family home?
Single family detached homes. There are no variances requested with regard to any of the setbacks, any of the coverage, or any of that.
I don't have any other questions, Mr. Barnhart. I was opening up to the board.
How many bedrooms are in an existing house?
In existence right now?
Eight.
How many bedrooms? Are we in the property today? Eight bedrooms, six and a half baths.
Eight bedrooms total?
Pardon me?
Eight bedrooms total in that house?
Eight bedrooms total in that house. Dentist's office in the ground floor. Dentist's office was in the ground floor before Dr. McQuaid passed away.
So each new home will probably have four bedrooms each?
That's right. You would envision that on a lot that size, yes. Okay. And the garage that's existing with the half story above it would be coming down, which would give, in our opinion, additional side yard setback to a new house going up there and coming through. So,
a couple questions. So, a couple things with the exhibit. Is that exhibit one, I guess?
Part two.
Okay, two. So when you went down Winchester Avenue, you said all those lots abut that street. When you got to your block, you didn't include the lots behind it in the number of lots that are in that block, right?
Are you talking about here?
Yes.
No, I didn't. I followed Winchester Avenue through.
Right. But this block had
to compare the state and the mass area.
Understand.
When you get to the other side of that, it actually would become more dense in our block because those lots are smaller.
Wait, but there's already more dwellings in that block. Because you were comparing block to block.
We only have five rooms.
No, what I understand is what you're saying. You're saying in this total block, there's more dwellings, but there's also more land area.
Correct.
Yeah.
So the block mainly across the street where the old school was. So that was a subdivision that was approved back, I'm going to say, 89, 90.
Right.
I reviewed it. Sorry.
Jason's house.
The school. What was the old school there?
Right.
Yeah, okay, that one. Oh, that one, okay.
So to me, that was approved for that because it didn't have a house on it before. So that, to me, that comes out of my equation. I guess the issue I have is these corner lots in the St. Leonard's tract, maybe not as much on the Bay side of Ventnor Avenue, but on the Ocean side, are all large tracts. They're all large lots, single family home there, not subdivided up and chopped up into two smaller lots. That's what I have a problem with. If you met the lot depth on these, we'd have to approve it. I just don't see this fitting into the character of that area. It just doesn't meet that assessment for something you described. And one other, your study only focused on the Bay side of Ventnor Avenue. You didn't talk much about the other side, where I think everything is more compliant in that
sense. Well, it's not really more compliant.
Oh, it didn't prove your point.
If this was a request from the side, frankly, I don't have an argument to make in my opinion. Once you get south of that, I mentioned that already, once you get south of that avenue, there is a lot of consistency in your community in this area.
Right.
It's, in my opinion, untouchable.
And subdividing this not taking
place in this area.
Right, subdividing this lot loses that consistency that we're trying to keep in the St. Leonard's tract. Well, I mean, that's a historical area to this community.
Yeah, well,
Look, there was an instance of a subdivision happened on Marsden and Cambridge that I was unhappy that it wasn't approved to keep the old house. If this board would have granted a 1-foot variance, we could have kept a historic, not historic, but an older structure. Because, and I complained to this board about that when we first got in office. I said, look, we could have saved the house if you'd have granted a 1-foot variance for the corner lot on Marsden. And that's been kind of our theme here. Let's preserve